This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Welcome back. Or if you're just joining us, welcome to it. You're going, why is JR still on the radio? Well, it's complicated. We'll leave it at that. But Kenny Walls has popped in. Kenny, is there a reason you're playing Don't Worry, Be Happy? Is that like a Friday staple? Or
no, it's a little Bobby action.
Okay. Ah, I like that. Okay. There you go. Without further ado. Okay, Brad Fritsch sitting in here on In the Box on TSN 1200. And Brad has gone through the Rolodex. 2 days ago, he dialed up Pierre Dorion, the Sens GM. And today he has found us. Bobby Ryan, former Ottawa Senator, who is good enough to join us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. I understand somewhere driving through, Bobby, Wyoming. Is that right?
Yeah, Wyoming right now. I just crossed the state line.
Into one. Okay, and you got the fam with you?
No, it's just me and my wife's cats, if you can believe it. If I'm going to drive the cats cross country, I make sure I kind of do like a 3 day thing where I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to take 3 days. So I stopped in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and then Spearfish, South Dakota, and finishing the drive up today. So I played some golf and doing the back road tour this time.
Hang on. You're driving cats? Like the animals?
Yeah. We have a weird breed. They're Highland Lynx, so they're half bobcat, and they can't fly commercial. I drive them. I drive them cross country twice a year.
Do you get some sort of Husband of the Year award for doing that?
No, because I get 3 days off. it's a grind getting them into hotels and things like that. But other than that, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to take my time and enjoy it. So. I don't get any awards. You would think I might, but nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, let us put you on watch. That I want you to suggest that to your wife when you arrive. Now you're headed to a place in, is it Idaho or Montana?
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll hit Montana here shortly and finish that state up. And Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I've been up there for a couple.
Okay. I got to ask you then, because I watched Yellowstone. Which, of course, is set in Montana, and many times they show the border crossing with Wyoming, where they throw dead bodies over the guardrail all the time. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag on the show. So is Bobby Ryan a Yellowstone fan, and do you have any desire whatsoever to pass by the big ranch where they filmed everything? Oh, and I think we lost him. Oh, there we go. See, that's a fantastic question, but he's driving through the middle of Wyoming, and he's got cats in his car. So I thought that was legit. Have you watched Yellowstone, Fritchie?
I haven't, but I hope he wasn't thrown over the guardrail. That would be not good.
No, not good.
No, I caught a few episodes on a plane once. I can't remember where I was flying to, but it was on, the Delta, screen. And I was like, man, this is a really good show. So I recorded all of them. I told Kenny, I have 49 episodes recorded on my TV, and I'm just trying to get my wife to watch. It's something we can watch together. I think it'd be good. Haven't quite broken through yet, though.
Okay, I think every single person that's watched Yellowstone wants to move to Montana. So I think we've found Bobby Ryan again in the middle of Wyoming. So have you watched Yellowstone, Bobby?
I'm a big fan, yeah. So we're going through the same thing in Idaho. Californians are trying to wreck it as well. But, yeah, big fan of Yellowstone.
Okay, is it pretty from your life in Idaho, is it pretty reflective of how life is plays out in the middle of Montana and Idaho?
Yeah, very, very accurate, actually. You can actually go 20 miles in any direction, and you're in the middle of, farmer country, so and cattle country as well. So, yeah, we're in tune with that, but we're more city. I guess city-centric is the word you would use.
Nice, nice. One more question for me, and then I'll let Brad Fritsch weigh in on this. So am I right that you have located – have you got a place now? You live part of the year in Nashville? And if that is right, or Nashville area, what was the thinking and the reasoning for settling there?
Yeah, we're about 40 miles from the city, out in the country a little bit, south of Franklin, Tennessee. And we had no ties anywhere. My wife and I were – I guess we were looking to, settle down and put some roots down. And, Idaho is great, but the winters are about as bad as they are in Ottawa. So we were looking for something different, and that's where we settled because of the golf course, and my mother-in-law's there. So it just, it all made sense to us. And yeah, we're building a house now, and yeah, getting settled.
Nice.
Into retirement mode, I guess, you know?
Nice. Well, let's segue to there. Of course, you after your time in Ottawa, you spent 1 year in Detroit. Didn't play this year. Did you want to play this past year? And have you totally closed the book on playing hockey? Like, are you done?
Yeah, I think so. I went back and started the season there and did the you know, the training camp PTO, and had a couple offers this year to play, and just nothing that piqued my interest enough to leave the family. I was going to go play in Canada with a couple teams there that were looking, and it just didn't make sense. It was time to be done, and it was time to move on. I think when you start to think about retirement, if you're thinking about it, you probably should have already done it, and that's where I was at.
So, Bobby, at the beginning of the playoffs, you were tweeting up a storm. You're very good analysis, I thought. I wanted to ask you the difference between Eastern and Western Conference hockey. We see a lot of low-scoring games in the East, and then a lot more high scoring in the West. How different does your body feel since you played in both conferences? How different does your body feel after a series playing one versus the other? Is it any different at all?
Not in the playoff sense. I think you minimize travel in the playoff sense because you go for, you know, games 3 and 4 on the road, or 1 and 2 on the road, whatever it might be. But I will say that the Eastern Conference is just so much easier in terms of the fact that you're in your own bed way more often. I think the first year I got traded from Anaheim, I spent like 22 more nights in my own bed. That's a big difference. But at the same time, you're only seeing the high scoring games because of the fact that you got Connor and Leon and Nate McKinnon on that side. So, that kind of stuff will balance itself out over time, but right now, they're just scoring up a storm. That game last night was incredible to watch. I had to turn it off and go to bed, but I missed the ending. But like a minute and 11, I feel like I went through the gauntlet of emotion.
it was incredible to watch, for sure. 4 goals in 71 seconds, which is a playoff record. We're with Bobby Ryan, the former SN, joining us as he's driving through Wyoming back home to Idaho. How many cats, by the way, are with you? Oh, did we lose him again? Okay. All right. There he goes again. This is, you know what? Cell phones are the greatest thing ever, and they're the worst thing ever. They give you communication with anybody anywhere, and then they give you communication with no one anywhere as well. So anyway.
I had a friend on the way to this course that we always used to play in North Raleigh, he'd say, "We can put a man on the moon, but we can't get cell service over this frickin' bridge." Like, same thing every time.
Oh, well, it's like when I leave downtown Ottawa, and as you go from Nicholas and you're merging onto the westbound 417, I live in Kanata. There's a moment where right on that ramp, where if I'm talking to somebody on hands-free or whatever, there's always a moment where there's silence, right? And it doesn't disconnect. But I don't know what it is, but it's just like if your car kind of dips, it's just a little bit of a dip, and then all of a sudden, anyway.
Bizarre.
First world problems, right? So anyway, we'll try to reconnect with Bobby. We'll give it to one more effort. But as you can imagine, cell phone tower service in Wyoming, not necessarily you're talking about like it is in downtown Ottawa or in downtown Holly Springs. Okay, while we try to reconnect, let me ask you about, as a ardent follower of Carolina, I think since you and I talked last, Tampa Bay is now through, having finished off Florida in 4 straight. How do you think, if Carolina gets through, how do you think they match up with Tampa Bay?
Well, not too bad, especially since they'll have home ice. I think that's a huge difference. Tampa didn't play well near the end of the season, and I think they were the 7th seed. So this is going to be interesting. If Carolina gets through and they have that home ice, the Jordan Staal line really neutralizes at even strength any line they play against. Zibanejad has gone off a little bit in the last couple of games, but it's all been power play. So I think they match up well. But I continue to be impressed, shocked, I don't know why, but by Tampa. You know, Braden Point's not in, no problem. Let's sweep Florida. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me other than they just know how to win, know how to play playoff hockey. I think Carolina has learned how to play better playoff hockey over the last few seasons. And these two series with Boston and New York, I think, will really, really help them. As long as they get past New York, I think they will. But I think, you know, Tampa's not scoring a ton. So I think that plays into Carolina's hands a little bit when you only need maybe one or two goals, especially you're going against Vasilevsky. So that's always a tall order. But as long as the goaltending continues to be pretty good for Carolina, which it has been, Antti Raanta has been really good. So as long as that continues to be good, I think they have a good shot at beating Tampa this year. I really do.
Mm. Sounds like a true homer to me. I we're going to try one more time here with Bobby Ryan. We think we got Bobby back on. Bobby, we got you?
Yeah. I found the one hill in Wyoming to get behind there for a minute.
Okay. No problem. Okay. So Brad's living outside of Raleigh now. He's an incredible Canes homer. He's already talking about the fact that once they knock off the Rangers, that they're going to beat Tampa. Tell him how wrong he is.
I don't think he's wrong. They just got to find a way to win a road game. It's great that, I mean, they're so good at home, and it's such a hard building to play in that they have that advantage. But at the same time, if you can't win on the road, you cannot win the Stanley Cup. That's just a matter of fact. But they're my favorite right now. At some point, this fatigue has to set in for Tampa, and I don't know when that is, but it they keep surprising me. But Vasilevsky can absolutely steal the series. But I think it's Carolina's year. That's my take on it right now.
Take us through the psyche, and I want to kind of go back to the 2017 run, of which you were a huge part here in Ottawa, the trip right to Game 7 of the conference final, and the emotion that a player and a team goes through as you work your way through, especially the amount of overtime games you got. Like, it was a razor's edge, pretty much, it seemed like, every single play. Just take us through the emotions of getting through almost three playoff series and what that's like.
Yeah, man, what a gauntlet. And we were primed for it because we had played low-scoring, tight games all year. So I think we had an advantage in that sense. But we didn't even make the Stanley Cup Finals, but I was emotionally and physically wrung out after that. And it took me a good couple of weeks to recover. But, the highs and the lows are just so drastic at that time of year that I don't want to say you get comfortable, but you find a way to live with it. And, I don't know how to describe it any other way than just emotionally draining. It really is.
So, Bobby, sticking with that playoff run, you didn't have a great season, I don't think, during the regular season that year. But in the playoffs, right away, you started scoring goals, making plays. You had game-winning goals, game-tying goals, overtime goals. What is a player going through if he's not playing great or not getting results? What does the player need to do to kind of get off that hump and start scoring? Because we've been talking about the Canes this morning, and there's just a couple players who are goal scorers that just aren't doing their jobs right now. What does the player have to focus on to kind of get that resurgence going?
Man, it's so cliche, but you kind of just got to trust the process. And for me that year, it was an injury riddled year with the broken fingers, and we laugh about it, but the amount of broken hands I had that year, I just had to trust the process. I was able to skate every day. I was working hard, and I knew that if I could get healthy, and I had missed, 6 weeks, give or take, leading up to that that playoff run. So I was about as healthy as you can possibly get at that time of year, and you just have to – I don't want to say ride the momentum of the bad side, but I did. I was like, okay, it's a downtime, but at the same time, you can do everything but touch a puck. So I worked on skating and fundamentals, and when you're not scoring and you're not participating, it's really hard on the mental side of things. So you just gotta bear with it. Those things come and go, and for me, I was lucky enough to hit a high on the way out of that playoff run and have some kind of, I guess, sustained success. But yeah, it's hard to say much more than, obviously, you just ride the wave and go through it.
Bobby Ryan, former Sen, is our guest. Okay, so Bobby, if memory serves correct, there were six overtime wins during that playoff run. So which was Bobby Ryan's favorite? Because you had, you know, you had two yourself. So there was the Phaneuf one in game two versus Boston. Then you had one. And then MacArthur had one to finish the series. And then against the Rangers, Pageau had the crazy four-goal game and the big comeback. Turris had the one. And then you had the one in game one versus Pittsburgh. So you can be honest here. And you can talk about the fact that one of yours was the favorite or one of the other ones. So what was your favorite overtime moment for the Sens in that playoff run?
I think Dion tying the series up against Boston, because if we go down 0-2, you're looking at a different series. So that one, it's better when you're celebrating somebody else's goal, I think. when you score, you're not really quite sure what to do or anything like that. So jumping up and down on the bench and going out to go see him after he tied that series up was a big one for us. That was probably one of my favorite moments of that run, for sure. Mm.
You won't remember this, but you and I played golf in the Sens golf tournament the next fall. And as we were making our way around the golf course, I remember asking you, and maybe you can kind of reiterate the point, you thought that if you guys had been able to get by Pittsburgh, you were quite certain you were going to beat Nashville that year. Why did you think so in the final?
Nashville was banged up, and you know, as good as Tech Arena is, he wasn't great on the road, and we would have had home ice advantage. I just think the stars were aligning for us if we could have gotten past Pittsburgh. And you know, something about the way we were playing at that time, everything felt right to us as a team. I think guys can reiterate the fact that, Pittsburgh and being on the road was kind of our Achilles heel, of that playoff series. But I think we lost game five, like 7-1 or 5-1 or something like that. It just wasn't a good building for us. But I was very, very confident in our team going into Nashville and doing the same and running the table.
Personally, Bobby, I would have picked outskating Olli Maatta and sealing it in game one for against Pittsburgh, but yeah, that's just me.
Well, so there's not many guys I beat in a foot race, so I probably should have picked it.
So, Bobby, your time in Nashville, I think you had told me that you were kind of dabbling in skills work for kids or maybe a little bit of coaching. Tell us what you're up to in Nashville hockey-wise.
Yeah, I dabbled, I guess would be the right term. I was working with a 12 and under team that actually Ryan Smith from the Oilers, longtime Oilers guy, his kid and his team, and I was working with them. They went to Nationals and had a pretty good appearance or a good showing for what you would get from Nashville. I was working with them, and I realized I wasn't ready to do it full time yet. But it was great to get some perspective on whether or not I could coach at the kids level, and there's certainly an opportunity there to keep going. But I took a step back from it. It was rewarding, but at the same time, it was, when you get out of hockey, I think you want to get away from hockey for a little bit, and that's where I'm at right now. So I haven't put the skates on in quite a little bit of time now, and I don't see it happening anytime soon. And my little guy is going to start this summer, so we'll reevaluate. But right now, I'm just took a step away.
If you did get back into it, I mean, there's opportunities, as you said, you could just be involved with your child. You know, there would be opportunities, I'm sure, at an NHL level, be it in management or in coaching, or there's the broadcasting side of things. And one of the things we've always admired about you is you do have the gift of the gab, and you're lots of fun to talk to, and you have lots of good opinions. Would you ever have an interest in the broadcasting side of things if an opportunity opened itself up?
You know, I took a look at it, and there were some opportunities right out of the get-go to kind of venture into that avenue. And my thoughts really started to do it and had some conversations with him about it. But at the same time, I just don't want to travel. I'm just I think I'm just done with that gig right now. And it seems like you either got to be in Greenwich, Connecticut with ESPN side of things or traveling with the team. And I'm not there right now. I really want to be home, and I really want to be focused on my kids. So maybe down the line if that opportunity presents itself again, but for right now I'm
oh, uh-oh. Wow, fitting Fitting that our time with Bobby Ryan probably comes to an end, unfortunately, with a phone that went out of that went out what three times, Fritchie? I think that's good. I think that's awesome, and good to catch up with Bobby. And thanks for setting that up because that's some. We got him one more time. Okay, this we promise will be if this phone line goes out one more time, Bobby Ryan. That's it. Okay, we're putting we're putting you to the test, the task, and we're saying that it's the cat's fault.
That's fair. I just passed Lame Deer, Wyoming, so I'm pretty rural right now.
Okay. All right, Brad, you got one more for Bobby?
No, I think we're good, man. It was really good to talk to you, and thank you for coming on. I wish you the best of luck with your golf game, and then getting your boy on skates. It's speaking from experience, it's a ton of fun. My boy's 9, assistant coaching, lots of yelling, no cursing, of course, but it is a ton of fun watching your kid play hockey.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. He's turning 4 in about a month now, so it's about time we get him on skates. And I'm glad you didn't have to get too far in the Rolodex for me to come on. I'm glad I got to help you out, and sorry for the connection.
All right, awesome of you to come on. Safe travels the rest of the way home to Idaho. Enjoy the summer, and we hope to catch up with you again down the road at some point.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you. There's Bobby Thanks, Ryan, Bobby. Former Ottawa Senator, joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senator. So, again, apologize for the connections, but I think understandable. Anybody that's had a cell phone knows that can happen, especially when you're driving with a number of cats through rural Wyoming on your way through Yellowstone, eventually to home. Andrew, have you ever been out to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho?
I have not. I've been to Boise, but that's obviously more urban. He's invited me a few times. The golf course that he plays at is phenomenal. It's highly ranked. I've seen pictures. The views are really, really great. So I'm going to try to make my way up there this summer.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about that area in particular, right? There's a lot of people from, former players, but as well just people from like Southern California that have places up there, ranches or whatever. So it's kind of the best of both worlds, as he said, particularly in the summer. So, and when you've got cats to transport, there you go. So stopping to play golf. I wonder what he does with the cats when he stops to play golf on this elongated car trip across the Midwest.
I wanted to ask him, like, you come back to the hotel and just everything's torn up and you gotta pay him about $5,000 just for repairs. What happens?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Fritchie, here's the good news. Your time with me is done because Graham Creech has arrived to take over for the next 2 hours and 30 minutes. So he'll have lots of things to chat about with you. But thanks for joining me for the first 90 minutes, and you'll continue along with Creature when we return. Sound good?
It's been an honor. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Graham Creech will step in throughout the rest of In the Box alongside Brad Fritch and Kenny Walls on this Red Blacks game day. It's the Red Blacks and Argos coming up tonight at 7:30 right here on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, welcome back to In the Box here on TSN 1200. I'm Graham Creech, stepping in for JR, who stepped in for Joe Lloyd as he takes care of his tree on his house. And I got to say good morning to Brad Fritch. Fritchie, I listened to the entire hour and a half leading up to this point as I was taking care of some things and on my way here. Good morning. How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you coming in, cutting short your vacation. Is that right?
I had a few vacation days because I was supposed to be moving today. And then it got delayed because of the power outage. They couldn't close a home to us on without power. Still had some things to do today, but was able to do them in the morning ahead of and stepping in. Because, yeah, I got the call probably around when you did last night asking if I could come in. So would have liked to have been able to be here for 10, but I'm here now. And yeah, it's been a good show so far. Nice guest with Bobby Ryan just at 11 o'clock there. Nice to always go down the 2017 memory lane with a former player.
Yeah, for sure. I pull up the Sens playoff goals from 2017 once in a while if I need to pick me up. I always enjoy that. It was a great, great run. And what a bunch of players on that team. I mean, it never came together exactly how we wanted after that, but it was a ton of fun, that team. You know, they weren't you know, expected to go as far as they were and to get to a game seven double overtime. Chris Kunitz, the most hated player of all time in my head. it was fun to catch up with him. And it's always interesting to hear perspective of former players, whether they want to work in hockey or not, or broadcasting or whatever it may be. And Bobby said, I'm done with the traveling, which I can relate to. I traveled for 21 years playing golf. And now that it's mostly over for me, I get it. Once you're home for a while, you start to appreciate different things in your life for sure.
Yeah. And so many guys are different or wired differently. Like you get some guys that are just absolute hockey nerds where that's the only thing they care about. Like even when they're not playing, they're researching and watching, and whether it's tape or live games of everything else. And then there's other guys that once their game is over or their practice and they leave the rink, they kind of forget about it completely. So I love getting their perspective anytime. You mentioned you go often if you need to pick me up to that run and you watch some goals. If you were to pick one, what would be your favorite goal to go back and rewatch from that one run?
Bobby's goal to win game one in Pittsburgh was awesome. It just kind of showcased everything about him. Just sick hands, backhand, top corner on a breakaway. I just thought, you know, hey, where's that
foot speed?
You know, exactly. I had to throw that in there. Yeah. But I think it was that one, or like he said, the Dion Phaneuf goal, because, you know, on YouTube, they have this little presentation of those goals. I can't remember who put it together. Just a, you know, a super Ottawa Sens super fan, I think. And you forget that they were almost down 2-0 in that series against, frankly, a pretty depleted Boston team too, because you're looking at the defensemen that they had and you're like, oh, this guy played, that guy played, like they should be taking advantage of them. And they did eventually, but it was those games, they had so many comebacks in those playoffs. It was definitely heart pounding. I remember where I was on a few of the goals. And so those two specific goals, the Dion Phaneuf overtime goal against Boston and then Bobby's goal against Pittsburgh in game one, those are probably the two that stand out for me.
Yeah. For me, like obviously the Carlson and Hoffman is just, it's just so brilliant. Just everything involved in that. But the one I think I get the most excited about, I think live was MacArthur scoring. It just felt so good for the player, but just going back now, it's the Brassard goal. Just how that game, they were down and Carlson yelling at Brassard on that shorthanded goal against, and for them to hook up on it, and just Carlson dominating the entire Bruins team in the offensive zone there. Just absolutely vintage Carlson. Finds the seam, goes to Brassard, and Brassard tackles him as they embrace, and Carlson on the bad leg or on one leg. It just, the lid blew off the building. I get goosebumps thinking about how loud the fans were for that game. I think that's probably my favorite, but there's a ton.
Yeah, that was a great one too. And I think Bob Cole got all of the names correct as he called it too, which was pretty impressive. I remember thinking right away, oh my God, he jumped on top of Carlson. Please don't hurt him any more than he already is.
Totally.
I remember that part too.
Yeah. I remember Dino on his call, he called it the bad boy turned good. I'll never forget that because of the interaction that Carlson and Broussard had earlier in the game. On the rest of the show, it's busy guest-wise. Travis Yost is going to join us at noon to kind of – Travis Yost has followed the Senators and, of course, writes for TSN.ca and follows the league very closely. So a bit of Sens talk and a lot of Stanley Cup playoff talk. He has a piece out on McDavid and what he's doing right now. So it just put that in perspective, what Connor McDavid is doing. Tim Baines at 12:40. Baines is going to tee up the Red Blacks – first game of the season. It's a game day here on TSN 1200. 6 o'clock pregame with Lee Versage and James Duke Ellingson. Dave Naylor, the insider this year, as they get you set for kickoff. AJ Jakubek and Jeff Avery with a call at 7:30. So love game days at the station, even though as I turn around, still raining in the market. Should be a wet one, but love that football's back. So Tim Baines will tee that up from a red-black perspective with us at 12:40, and then Goodrow Weapon Wilson at 1 o'clock to talk all things Sens and hockey. So three more guests, and you guys already had Bobby Ryan on. So a guest heavy show, but looking forward to it.
I really love talking to guys in and throughout hockey about what they see from game to game in these playoffs, because it's always little things, right? You know, Bobby just said the ice is just different when Draisaitl, McDavid, and MacKinnon are on the ice. I wanted to get to a question to him about what do you do to contain? Like, there's not much you can do, right? But McDavid and Draisaitl have scored so much more than MacKinnon has in these playoffs, and I wonder if teams are, you know, is there a specific strategy to contain those guys? Is it hit and hope? So I always enjoy different guys coming on and asking them what they see. And Gord is always bringing his perspective to us. So looking forward to that chat. I guess I'm going to have to break out my spreadsheets for Travis Yost. Not a big analytics guy, but I know he is. And I'm curious kind of what he saw before the playoffs and if those things have played out, because those are, you know, it's always interesting to me whether the numbers match the actual results on the ice.
Yeah, another unique perspective there for sure. So we'll see what his take is. I know that online he's been pumping, before the playoffs started, an Oilers-Hurricanes final.
Oh, wow. So,
we can ask him about that, yeah. We'll take a break now. We still owe a break here. Come back with one more segment in this hour. And then Yost will join us coming up at noon. You're in the box on TSN 1200. Welcome back to In the Box here on TSN 1200. It is now Grim Creech with Brad Fritch and Kenny Walls, taking you through the rest of this show. And Brad, just wanted to, I know I was listening to your show with AJ the other day, and you guys had a nice basketball segment. I knew that you'd followed the teams in your area. I just didn't know how much you were actually into basketball. So I found that out on that show. And so I just wanted to get your opinion on the Golden State Warriors advancing to the NBA Finals. It'll be their sixth time, a finals appearance in the last eight seasons. First time a franchise has done that since MJ's Bulls, as they win 4-1 over the Dallas Mavericks with a 120-110 win last night. And for me, I typically don't like rooting for dynasties or teams that win often, but I think they have a pretty neat story just in what happened with Klay Thompson and the injuries, as well as Kevin Durant leaving, and this team is in the lottery, and all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but they've built themselves back up. Obviously, the main core is still there with the Splash Brothers, and they've added some pieces as well. But what's your thoughts on the Golden State Warriors getting back to this stage where they have a real opportunity here to win another NBA championship?
Well, I think it's great, namely because I enjoy watching them play basketball, for one. But I understand how people get that way in terms of dynasties. And, you know, they won 73 games one year, and then they added Kevin Durant the next year. So it's, you know, people like change at the top, and you know, it's getting that way in hockey with Tampa. It's like, okay guys, we've had enough, let's get a new champion in here. But just the way they play basketball, they share the ball so much. I was talking with AJ the other day, and you know, Steph Curry kind of changed how basketball is played, with the ability to make those deep threes, and now, you know, teams shooting 43 point attempts in a game is not unusual, and more importantly, it's not frowned upon by the coaches, whoever's coaching that team. It's like, hey, if you have an open shot, that's worth more than a mid-range too, in terms of the value at the end of the day with shooting percentages and all that. So I really enjoy watching them play. Draymond Green is such a different type of player, a 6'5", maybe 6'6" player who controls the game with his, when he plays point forward, how he plays defense. He guards basically every position on the floor. Super creative guy, not the prettiest shot in the world, but he doesn't take a ton of shots away from the basket. And like you said, Steph Curry, lots of fun to watch. Klay Thompson tore his knee up twice, so his comeback, he had 32 last night, which was great to see. I just love the way they play basketball. I know, you know, a lot of people don't enjoy NBA as much as I do, but I do think it's a good sport to watch in the playoffs, especially. And the way they match up, presumably against the Boston Celtics, is probably favorable for them, and so I expect them to win, but obviously you have to win the games. But yeah, I thought it was a another good game by them last night. They beat Luka Doncic. I think he needs a little bit of help on the Maverick side, but yeah, it's just, you know, people were talking about, well, they'll never reach the finals again, and prove them wrong. They got really lucky in terms of kind of salary cap management. When Steph Curry went down with an injury, they didn't end up paying him the contract that he probably would have garnered if he had played a full season before that contract came up, his second contract in the NBA. So they were able to kind of, you know, he kind of Tom Brady'd them a little bit, where taking less for the team type thing. And it really helped them in those first years. And now they've kind of, they've managed, they've had some good draft picks. Jordan Poole, gosh, he came from kind of nowhere, the G League last year, and now he averaged 20 points a game this year. So another addition to the Splash Brothers. I mean, he's basically a Steph Curry light when he's on the floor. So long-winded answer to say, yes, I do enjoy basketball.
What progression have you seen in Andrew Wiggins? Because I obviously number one overall pick and was able to score, but I think the narrative was that he didn't defend well and some of his shot selection was poor. It just seemed like, despite the contract and the status as number one pick, there was a lot of negative energy or talk surrounding him, and it seems like he's kind of redefined his game playing in Golden State. How would you assess what you've seen from his game since he's become a Warrior?
Yeah, I think he was expected to be moved soon after he moved to Golden State. I think everyone was thinking they were going to use him as a trade chip to get either a high draft pick or whatever, but they ended up moving D'Angelo Russell. But he is, you know, his first season in a bit for Golden State, he kind of had that, I don't know if you want to say me first attitude, but he was trying to be the man. And this year he was an all-star playing as the, you know, third or fourth most important player on the team. He brings a ton to the table. He's super athletic. You saw him guard Doncic during that series and he guarded him really, really well. And then obviously he can score at will. So just the ability to be on the floor, maybe when Curry and Thompson aren't, and he can be the primary option, but then he kind of blends into the background. But they share the ball so much that you never know who's going to get the ball when their five starters are on the floor. So he has progressed a ton. I wish he was playing for Team Canada as they move toward the Olympics in Paris, but he's not. But he's definitely, you know, accepted that he's not the most important player on the floor for his team, and consequently he's become a better player.
Awesome stuff. All right, we'll take a break and get back into the hockey discussion with Travis Yost next, as In the Box continues on TSN 1200.